Sir Nigel, could you give me your pronunciation of your name?
Nigel Sheinwald. Nigel Sheinwald.
Well, I must say you've lucked into some wonderful weather. I'm checking my level here to make sure everything's be recording nicely. You've lucked into some very beautiful weather. How was the weather when you went out to the Pebble site today?
Very good. It was a glorious day. Thank you.
Tell me what you saw. I mean, you were clearly being hosted by Anglo-American, and Anglo-American, I would assume, is a largely UK business. I'd like to get your impressions just of what you saw, because I'm sure you have heard no end about wow, these are headwaters and these are salmon, and this is the kind of ore that is valuable, but is certainly going to be going to take some digging to get out.
Well, you've expressed, Steve, in a nutshell, my impressions there. I've known the company for some time. As the British ambassador in Washington, I deal the whole time with major companies which are headquartered in the UK, and Anglo-American is one of those. It's a global company. It has operations all around the world. And it has an interest, as you say, in the Pebble Partnership, in the mine near Iliamna. I'd heard about this project some time ago, met with the chief executive and a number of other people over the last 18 months, 2 years or so, but thought it was very important on my first visit to Alaska to have a chance to look at the situation on the ground for myself. And what I saw was something of the terrain, which brought home to me some of the both the opportunities, but also the limitations and the difficulties of what they are trying to do. It brought home to me the seriousness of the work they're doing on environmental sustainability and environmental impact. They've spent, I think, well over $100 million on environmental impact studies, which will be released very shortly and which will be the basis for their applications in due course. And I was able to meet with some of the representatives of the local communities in the immediate area who were able to tell me about their views of the project. And I heard about a range of views, obviously, both in the region, in the state, and more generally. But I think the key thing I come away from is that the company knows that it has to make the case. It has to make it on the basis of good science, sustainability, working with the local people, working with those whose livelihoods depend on this particular part of Alaska. And that it will be a properly thought through and properly regulated process. And that, I think, is what they're asking for. And as the ambassador of the country concerned, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for a decent and due process and a chance for their case to be heard.
In your op-ed that the Anchorage Daily News ran this morning, you were fairly firm on the idea that, the United Kingdom's government simply expects regulations to be complied with.
Absolutely. This isn't zero sum. We expect our companies and other global companies to set themselves high standards and to follow them. We don't think there's any way that companies will survive internationally, will prosper internationally, unless that's the case. And that's certainly my view of the leadership of Anglo-American, which is the major party involved in the Pebble partnership. And it's my view of a number of other major companies which are investing here. A few facts, if I may. British companies are the biggest employers, the biggest foreign employers in the United States. Nearly 1 million American jobs are in British-owned companies. About the same number of British jobs are in American-owned companies. There's a huge amount of economic interdependence between us. But of course we want those companies to be responsible citizens, whether they're in the energy sector, whether they're in the resources sector, whether they're in the financial sector. It doesn't matter. We expect them to have high standards. And it isn't a case of either or. This has just got to be the way we operate in the 21st century.
The For the first time, the United States participated really in the Arctic Council recently, sending Hillary Clinton and indicating that they're ready to start playing. It's probably a relief to you, to your government, and to a number of other countries in the world, wouldn't you say?
Well, as far as I know, it wasn't the first time the U.S. had participated, but I think the first time they participated at the level of the Secretary of State. So Hillary Clinton was the first U.S. Secretary of State to attend those meetings. We welcome that. We're not members of the Arctic Council. We're not that far north in the U.K. or sometimes feels cold enough to be an Arctic country. We are permanent observers of the Arctic Council. We devote a lot of time and interest. We devote money to research. We've just put in a £15 million research grant into work on the Arctic, which has been taken forward by British scientists. So we're interested. Our sense is that these issues, which mix climate, energy, fishing, resources, sustainability, these are the issues of the future as well as the issues of today. So I think Britain's going to remain very, very interested in these issues. And from what I've read from our own team that was in Greenland at that meeting, it was a productive meeting. It came up, as you know, with the first binding agreement between the Arctic Council countries on this issue of search and rescue. And we hope that cooperation will intensify in the period ahead.
So, you know, there's this thing called the meridial overturning. Something it has to do with the way that the ocean currents work, that the fresh water comes out of the Arctic and how deep it goes, and if, as they're beginning to think, the cells aren't going down as far as they used to, you begin to get less of that overturning, and you could end up with a disruption of the Gulf Stream. I would think that would be of concern in your country because it would make it colder.
It would certainly make it colder, that would be of real interest to quite a lot of people in the UK. But I think more generally, I mean, the issues which are being looked at in the Arctic Council, the melting of the Arctic snows, the Arctic ice cap. All these things are of interest. They're affecting our oceans. You don't need me on a first visit to Alaska to tell you about the impact this is having already on your own environment, on your own fisheries, and so on. This is of interest to all of us and affects everybody.
Do you think there's you met with fishermen today. And, you know, Alaskans, you may have already gathered, a little bit obsessed with fish, especially this time of years. I'm just wondering if you can say anything about potential markets in the United Kingdom for Alaska salmon. You know, there's the fresh salmon is one thing, but then you need to do something with it because they all come at once. You've got to do something. You have to can them or freeze them or something. And there's farm-raised salmon all over the place now. So Alaskans have to find a way to compete with their wild salmon.
No, I was very happy to meet the fisherman's representative today. And the reason for that was that I wanted to hear something about the growth of that industry, which is so important to the state. But there's one very interesting, two very interesting statistics. The first is one which doesn't really pop up in the trade figures. We in Britain import about $1 million worth a year of Alaska farmed seafood. It doesn't show up in the trade figures because most of this comes through Canadian and American firms. But we consume about $100 million of it, which puts us quite high up in your list of importers. And in addition to that, we are the number one world importer of canned salmon, because that's regarded still as a great delicacy in the UK. So if you're an Alaskan and you're a lover of canned salmon, Britain is the place to visit internationally if you want to feel at home.
So how much time are you spending up here, and how many states have you been to?
I'm not sure I've been to all 50 states, but this is My second time working in the British Embassy in Washington, I was in the embassy in a more junior position in the 1980s, and I and my family have been backwards and forwards many, many times as tourists. So if you add all those things together, there are maybe a few states that we haven't visited yet. This was one of them. My wife and I are spending 8 days here this time, and it's mostly work, but we're using work to visit quite a few parts of the state. We're spending tomorrow in Sitka, to see the old Russian capital, see something of the music festival that's going on there. We've got a couple of days of meetings, seeing the governor, seeing the mayor, seeing members of the governor's administration here in Anchorage later in the week. And also we'll be going up to the North Slope with BP on Thursday. So we're trying to see a bit of everything alongside spending some time with our friends and doing tourism.
I have been amazed at the grace with which BP has managed to deal with this Deepwater Horizon. I think they've had maybe a little bit more cooperation than was really necessary from the administration. But you know, I'm speaking as an Alaskan who watched Exxon and their oil spill. But it would appear that even the enormous amount of money that is involved, that BP is doing much better than Exxon did at seeing to it that compensation is made and making allowances in their books for this enormous outlay of money, even though they're going to have to divest parts, and they probably have to divest more. But they, you know, I have to say they seem to be doing it rather gracefully. Now we're waiting to see how they follow through here in Alaska.
Well, that's how I see it too. I mean, we all the immediate reaction obviously was the scale of the tragedy for the people who lost their lives, their families, and environmentally. But I think BP started really very soon after the initial spill in the spring of last year to make clear that they would do whatever was necessary to make the necessary financial and environmental reparations. And I've been down to the region a couple of times myself, once quite recently. The beaches are now clear. I think there's still some cleanup to do in the marshes near New Orleans. But apart from that, the environmental damage on the surface anyway looks to have been contained. And a very substantial sum, as you say, Steve, has been set aside for financial compensation. And I think they've spent already about $8 billion in compensation to individuals who've been affected. So this has still got some way to run. I mean, the investigations are still continuing. The panel which has been set up, I think, is yet to report. But BP are very clear that they have a long way to go to restore their reputation in this matter. But they're going about it, I think, again in a responsible and long-sighted way.
But in Alaska, I think Alaskans would regard me as irresponsible if I didn't bring up the concerns that many have. We're not really hearing it from our governor, but we're hearing from a number of our lawmakers that BP and the other producing companies on the North Slope may not really be doing all they really could to advance the marketing of natural gas from the North Slope. The Denali pipeline project, after all that spending, has been shut down now. And it's pretty obvious that you don't build a pipeline without some kind of agreement with the producers, and BP's a producer.
Well, I'm not familiar with that at the moment. I'll know more about it once I've got my got my bearings and been up to the North Slope on Thursday. I know BP have been here for a long time. We'll spend a day with them and look forward to discussing that sort of issue with them later in the week.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I can't help but, you know, we're sitting in the Captain Cook Hotel. I'm looking at a Captain Cook picture over here, and I've become kind of a fiend on Alaska history because it's the extremists of all the empires. You know, I mean, not Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan maybe, but if you the British, the French, the Spanish, and the Russians all reached their limits right here in Alaska. It's such an interesting heritage we have. I can't help but feel that there must be there must be possibility in this, that Alaska maybe is a country of the imagination. And I wonder how you feel. Your impressions are all fresh. You just got here. You know, just whether you feel that kind of thrill that some people see when they get here.
No, I do feel an excitement. I also feel a connection. I mean, you feel a number of things. I mean, obviously, it's a very, very different sort of place from more or less anything that I've seen before. Even in the short time I've been here, even in 2 days, and I'll see much more of it. And the scale and the beauty and splendor of the terrain is in an unusual combination here, and so that makes an impact. On the other hand, there are these extraordinary British connections. More or less, the first thing I saw when I came here was the statue of Captain Cook, which is just a few hundred yards from the hotel we're in now. There happens to be another statue of Captain Cook, actually a more recent one than the one you've got, very near my home in Greenwich, in London, and that's where the Greenwich Meridian is. The Greenwich Meridian, where we get the idea of zero longitude, and you measure longitude from the Greenwich Meridian. And we are exactly halfway around the world from Greenwich, where I live in London, here in Alaska, where, of course, you've got the international dateline running through part of the territory. So you feel a long way away. You feel the British connections. What I also feel is that the issues that you're debating here about energy, about sustainability, about retaining your traditions in the most pressing global environment, these are the issues we're all dealing with. They are extremely familiar. So I feel a jumble of feelings, some of which are to do with the uniqueness of this place and the impact of seeing something that's so new. But equally, there are some things which we definitely share.
Yeah. Okay, well, I believe that'll do it.
Very
thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much indeed.